Welcome to the May 2nd virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Stephen Henninger. The theme for the service is The Stories We Tell.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Pam Phillips, and I am honored to serve this congregation. For those of you new to Zoom, I just want to go over a few of the logistics. At the bottom of your screen, if you're on a computer, you'll find a little mute button, and you want to keep that muted until we get to social time after the service. There's also a place where you can turn on and off your video if you want to see people or not. In the top right-hand corner, there is a view. You can go to gallery view if you want to see everyone's faces, and speaker view if you want to see just the person who's speaking. And I've turned on the closed caption. Thank you, Kimberly, for the reminder. If you find that distracting, you can choose whether to see the transcript or not by clicking on the box that says CC. I guess now you can go down to the little bubble that says chat on it and greet your neighbors by telling us where you are worshiping from this morning. And before Stephen welcomes us, I'll ring the bell. Bowl.
Morning, everyone. I'm Stephen Henninger, and I'm your worship associate today. I'm glad to be serving with Rev Pam this morning. So you'll find in the chat amongst all our greetings, a link to our order of service so that you may follow along with worship today. If you're with us for the first time, we're so glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat as well. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you, and welcome. We also invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at our calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. Thanks to all our volunteers who make all of these activities possible. And lastly, if you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat to fill that out as well. And I'll turn it back to Rev Pam.
I'd like to lift up a few announcements so that everyone knows what's happening, especially this today and in the days ahead. So I invite you to come and walk the labyrinth. Yesterday was World Labyrinth Day, and we had some people decorating the labyrinth with ribbons and bringing flowers. So if you missed it yesterday, I'll invite you to come and walk it today. Also at 3 o'clock is Spiritual Aging. That's on Zoom. Tomorrow, we're having our first gathering on the grounds. It's at 7 o'clock, and you'll find where you can register for that in the announcements. And also, I'd like to invite any parents with small children who would like to have their children dedicated in a virtual service. We're thinking about having one next Monday. I know some parents want to wait until we're together physically, but if you're interested in a virtual child dedication ceremony, get in touch with me. And I wanted to show you some pictures of a labyrinth with some of the decorations on it. Thanks to Darla Bray, especially, for putting that together. We walked it yesterday, and it's lovely.
Now, please join Evelyn and Leota Davis in saying the words on your screen as they light the chalice, symbol of our free faith.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
And our opening words this morning are from Reverend Dr. David Breeden and is titled, The Day Unwritten. Welcome to a new story. Welcome to a day unwritten. We gather to speak of possibility. We remember the losses. We celebrate the victories. As a people of story, we embrace the possible over the probable, weaving a story of hope. Join us in the new story. Join us in the day unwritten. Join us in the future of possibility.
Now I invite you to join in reading our congregational covenant led by Marilyn DuPont.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate honestly, directly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
This month, we are exploring what it means to be a people of story. So today, we'll begin with a story called The Broken Story Story by Reverend Christina Leon Tracy, Senior Minister at Fox Valley UU Fellowship in Appleton, Wisconsin. Once upon a time, there is a man with a story. This wasn't any old once upon a time story, though. Not one you could find in a bookshelf or hear around the campfire. This was his story and no one else's. This story had been carefully crafted. It began before he was born. And this story told of his loves and fears, his dreams realized, and his dreams yet to come. This story was complete. It told his whole life, including those bits that still existed in his imagination. In fact, this story was so complete, and he was so happy with his story, that he carried it around to make sure it was safe. It was somewhat bulky and unwieldy, but he didn't mind. It was his story. The thing about this story was, it was very fragile, made up of many pieces, and held together by only his own imagination. He was worried it might break apart at any minute. And so he grew more and more protective of his story. He held it even closer. As he went about his life, he checked on the story to make sure he was following it correctly. He avoided adventure and unknowns because, well, they might break his story. We'll come back to that story in a little bit. But before we go on about his story, let's take a moment to think about our story as a community. Let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting our offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of our offering with a local charity or a UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is Habitat for Humanity of the New River Valley, which seeks to provide affordable housing and a decent place to live for all. Please give online using the link in the chat or through our Give Plus app or text FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these, you may look at the order of service and the announcements for more information. You'll also be able to give after the service as well. And now, join me as we accept these offerings with the words on your screen. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. Now our story continues. And then one day, the inevitable happened. Without warning, his story broke. It was unforeseen, and he hadn't done anything wrong at all. But there it was, laying in 1,000 shattered pieces on the ground, with the sunlight glinting off the bits of his story he had so carefully protected for all those years. He was heartbroken. And since his story hadn't said to put the pieces back together, he was at a loss. What now? He sat down next to the pile of the pieces and cried.
That poor man whose story broke. I invite us all now into a time of meditation and prayer. Settle yourself in your seat or wherever you are. And you take a breath, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze, maybe even close your eyes. Spirit of life, we recall those times in our lives when we felt shattered, when we couldn't think of how to put the pieces back together again. Now is one of those times for someone. We think of the people of India suffering from the pandemic. May the world's response help ease their suffering and save lives. We think of those whose lives have been shattered by gun violence. May those losses not be in vain. May we find a way to end senseless killings. We think of those who are suffering at the hands of those meant to serve and protect. May our legislators have the will and strength to pass legislation that can begin to save lives. We think of all those suffering from oppression. May our eyes be opened to do what we can to end the suffering. Spirit of life, spirit of love. We think of all those unknown sorrows, lives seemingly shattered. May all those who suffer know that they are not alone, that they are held in love. May we hold them in love. Amen. And blessed be.
And our story continues. A while later, maybe it was minutes, maybe it was hours, a group of people came out of the nearby building and saw the man sitting on the sidewalk, surrounded by a pile of broken pieces, clearly in need of help. "What happened here?" a woman asked. "My story, it's gone. I worked so hard to build it, to protect it, to keep it from harm, and now it's gone. Gone," he wailed. Is this the story right here?" another man asked. "Yes, look at it. There's nothing left of it." "It looks like it's here, not gone," said a child. "We just have to put it back together." "Put it back together? There's no way. You don't even know what it looked like. How will you put it back together if you don't even know me?" The child was tenacious. "Don't worry. With all of us here to help, we'll put it back together in a way that you would never even expect. You never know. It might be more beautiful than before."
Let's think about the man and his story. Does it resonate with any of you? Have you had a story that started long ago, perhaps even before you were born? A story that said who you would become and what you would do in your life, what dreams you would fulfill. Perhaps it was a story that your parents or grandparents gave you, and then you lived into it, or not. Think back to when you were young. Did you know what your life would look like once you grew up? Where, how, and with whom you would live, what you would study, what work you would do? Have you ever felt protective of that story, afraid to deviate from it, or it would all fall apart? Stories are the way we give structure and make meaning of the experiences of our lives. And thanks to research in narrative psychology, we have new understanding of how our life stories work. We start telling stories when we are young, but the way we tell them change over time. As children, our stories are mostly plot driven. This happened, this happened, this happened, and so on. We called them bed-to-bed stories when I was a teacher, with every single event from waking to going to bed, no matter how insignificant, included. Brushing your teeth was as important as breaking your arm. As teenagers and young adults, we are able to tell more meaningful stories that include causal coherence, the ability to describe how one event led to another, and thematic coherence, the ability to identify overarching values and motifs that recur throughout the story. Julie Beck, writing in The Atlantic, explains that our stories are also influenced by our culture. She writes, "Once certain stories get embedded into the culture, they become master narratives, blueprints for people to follow when structuring their own stories, for better or worse. One such blueprint is your standard go to school, graduate, get a job, get married, have kids. That can be a helpful script," she writes, "in that it gives children a sense of the arc of a life and shows them examples of tentpole events that could happen. But the downsides of standard narratives have been well documented. They stigmatize anyone who doesn't follow them to a T and provide unrealistic expectations of happiness for those who do." I wonder if your life story fits the cultural blueprint, or did it deviate? I think of the man in our story who was afraid to deviate from his story. He was happy with his story, but it also kept him from exploring opportunities and being adventurous. He held his story close. He held it tightly. And then it broke, and he couldn't figure out how to put it back together again. I've been thinking about those times when the stories we tell about our lives feel shattered. It's usually something when something unexpected or even tragic happens. A breakup, a job loss, a diagnosis, a death, a terrorist attack, a pandemic. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. And there are two narrative structures we can use to tell those parts of our life stories: redemption and contamination. Beck explains, "A redemption story starts off bad and ends better. That horrible vacation ultimately brought us closer together as a family. While a contamination story does the opposite. The cruise was amazing until we all got food poisoning." She writes, "Having redemption themes in one's life story is generally associated with greater well-being." Of course, sometimes situations, especially when we're in the middle of them, are not particularly redemptive. But when we can, it helps if we can find some meaning in those painful episodes of our lives. Can you think of a redemptive episode in your own life story? The failure that taught you how to succeed, the challenge that you overcame, the end of one relationship that led to finding the love of your life, the loss that helped you see just how many people cared about you. It can help also, it turns out, to tell others our stories instead of keeping them to ourselves. Beck explains, "If someone is afraid of how people might react to a story and keep it for themselves, they'll likely miss out on the enrichment that comes with a back and forth conversation. A listener may give you other things to think about, or may acknowledge that the thing, that this thing that you thought is really, really bad is actually not a big deal. So you get this richer and more elaborated memory. If you don't tell, your memory for that event may be less flexible and give you less chance for growth. It helps to tell our stories. Now, I wonder if that's part of what might happen in our story. When we last saw the man, a bunch of people had come out to find him crying over the loss of his story. They seem very intent on helping him put it back together, especially that little child. So who are those people? I'll give you a little hint. When you hear the rest of the story, you might recognize them as Unitarian Universalists. Listen for the clues. And it seems completely appropriate to me because our telling, our stories, particularly our life stories, can be an exercise in theology. If you've taken any adult faith development classes, you will attest that we make lots of life timelines. In fact, the Sacred Language and Sacred Translation class will make one this week. Don't forget to bring paper. That's because our life stories help answer the big questions in our lives. Who am I? Where am I going? Where do I come from? Asking the big questions about who we are and what our purpose in life might be are also important to shaping narrative identity. And taking the time to ask them can help us to take control over our own life stories. According to Dan McAdams, Northwestern University psychology professor and author of a book I want to read, The Redemptive Self, Stories Americans Live By, people need to interrogate themselves with respect to their life stories. What am I trying to do here? What's the long-term gain? And how am I going to leave the world a better place when I'm through? Our life stories and the way we tell them to ourselves and to each other helps us grow spiritually and ethically. Telling our stories and listening to other people's stories helps us create compassionate community. Now, before we hear the end of the man's story, I want to invite you to try on one of the spiritual exercises from our Soul Matters small group packets. This one is inspired by Daniel Pink's One Sentence Project. Sounds like the six-word stories we did last month. The idea is to distill the essence of your life story down to one single sentence. It's a focusing device that connects people to clearer purpose. I looked around on the web and found a teacher who had written out three questions that might help you come up with what your sentence might be. How do you want to be remembered? Why do you want to be remembered that way? And what will you have accomplished in your life? Now, the packet doesn't give us any examples, but there's a video. Oops, I'm going to start over. Yeah. There's a video I want to share with you that does. These are some students from the Shanghai American School sharing their stories.
She flew with her own wings.
She was sweeter than honey.
He was a man who made children laugh when they went to the dentist.
She was like a cartoon strip. She could make you laugh and even sometimes cry, but at the end of the day, she was the only thing that was constantly bursting with color.
He brought hope to people's life by hating homers.
She kept jumping to reach the stars.
She created simple, cheap jewelry that people could wear every day. She taught students how to dream.
He was always focused and prepared to fight for people's rights.
He was a great man that made the poor people live better and made the impossible possible.
She made people understand why animal protection is important.
She created many things that some people thought were crazy.
She was a person who showed the value of effort.
He reached his goal even though he had to go around difficult obstacles.
He was always an optimistic.
He made breakthrough games that had a great impact on science.
He had no regrets in his life.
He was a friend who was there when friends were in need.
What's your sentence?
How's that for inspiration? Hearing those sentences gives me hope. And you can see that sometimes your sentences can be quite long to get everything in. So after you come up with your sentence, figure out a way to keep it front and center by putting it somewhere you'll see it often. And also think about how writing your sentence helped you see or embrace something new about your story. And now it's time to return to our story. What happened to the man? What happened to his story? Stephen?
Yes, let's close out our story. And so they swept up the pieces of this man's story carefully and went together into the building from which they had emerged. They poured him some hot coffee and sang a song he had never heard before. Something about coming again, again, though you've broken your vows 1,000 times. The song was soothing and the coffee was warm. He began to feel hope again that this story could be put back together. And it took a long time. Maybe it was days, maybe it was years, but they got it all back together. And they added new parts, and some old parts didn't fit anymore. But that was okay. The child had been right. It was more beautiful than before. And this time, the story was held together, not only by his imagination, but the imagination and support of the entire community. It wasn't nearly so fragile. It even allowed for adventure.
In the week and the month ahead, let's look for the stories in our lives, those redemptive episodes that help give us strength. And let's reach out to those who are suffering, who may find it difficult to find redemption, but who can feel our care and our love. And now I invite Evelyn and Yoda to extinguish our chalice. But not the warmth of community, the light of truth, or the fire of commitment. These we will carry in our heart until we are together again.